All right, guys, we don't have a ton of time tonight, so I'm just going to dive right into this. Is that all right? I'm going to dive right into the Word. First, though, what I want to do is back up just a little bit. All right, so we are, see, I'm going to back up just a little bit. I thought that was funny. So we are in a brand new series called Weeds. We're coming out of a series called Almost Christian, where we spent a few weeks talking about and kind of debunking, I don't even know what that word means, but kind of getting rid of some of the myths of Christianity. So week one, what did we talk about? Does anybody remember? No, that was week two, joy. Week one, we talked about the fact that we cannot earn God's love. From the moment you're born, even before that, till you're sitting here right now, God loves you greatly. Week two, we talked about the fact that God is, he's not really concerned about our happiness. He's more concerned about us having joy. And then in week three, we talked about how we as Christians have God with us always. He's with us. He's active. His Holy Spirit is living in us and amongst us. So we're coming out of that into a brand new series called Weeds. So weeds, I think most of us know what they are. Maybe some of us are more familiar with them than others. Like maybe your mom and dad don't landscape, or you, if that's your job, in your front yard, and maybe your weeds are like this high, which is fine. I'm not going to judge. It's a little weird, but I'm not going to judge. But weeds are these little tiny plants. I don't know why I'm doing this, but weeds are these little tiny plants that grow out of the ground, and they're kind of ugly. They're kind of goofy. You guys all stood up like I had one down there. I don't. They're these little tiny plants that grow out of the ground and have kind of nasty-looking leaves on them, kind of like that thing. And sometimes they smell. Has anybody else noticed that? Yeah? Oh, good. I thought I was honestly concerned I was the only one. They kind of smell bad. So these weeds, they're little, and what do most of the time? We go out and we pick them, or we pay somebody to pick them for us because we live in Gilbert. And then after a while, the thing is, if we let these go, and maybe there's some fields like this around here, but maybe we let those weeds grow and grow and grow, and pretty soon they're like taller than every one of us. They're taller than Brad St. Louis, and he's like 7 feet tall. They're huge. And what happens? Not only do they grow and become ugly, and do they block the beauty of what's behind them, whether it's a garden or your front yard or a field, they can actually destroy what's in that field. So as they're growing and they're coming up and they're becoming bigger and bigger, they're making it ugly, and they're also destroying the good of what's there. See, we have these same things in our lives. They're the little things. They're the little lies, maybe the small gossip, maybe being more worried about popularity than we are about our identity in Christ. Maybe it's having multiple identities. Maybe it's saying, oh, I'm one person at church, but I'm one person at school. And if those two people ever met, they'd probably hate each other. Maybe it's the little things in life that if we don't watch them, can grow and destroy the beauty that exists within us. So we're going to talk about those over the next few weeks. Tonight we're going to focus on lying. But here's the most important thing. Like, that would be really depressing if I just walked off and said, you stink at life. Sorry, that's just how it goes. You're ugly. Your life's ugly. No, that'd be terrible. I would never do that. I might one time. No, I wouldn't. The thing is, we're going to talk about those. We're going to talk about the little things, how they can grow. But more importantly than all of that, we're going to talk about how God and his power can come into our lives and pick those weeds out for us. See, he can get rid of those things from our lives and press us back to the beauty that he created us for. So I'm going to ask this to start off. I want to see by a raise of hands, how many of you have ever told a lie? All right, now look around, find the person whose hand down and say, come on, are you serious? Yeah, serious, come on. If that's the person who's lying right now. Yeah, you're lying. All right. The thing is, every single one of us has told a lie. Whether you did it on the way here, whether you're doing it over text message right now, or whether you did it when you were a little kid and your mom like asked you if you just stole a cookie from the cookie jar and you said no and you're like, you have crumbs all over your face. Like, the truth is, we have all probably lied. If you haven't, I'd love to meet you. Because your name is probably Jesus, and I don't think that's any of us. Anyway, sorry. See, lying has been a part of our human history since the very, very beginning. Like, let's look at this. If you have your Bibles, this one's an easy one to turn to. Turn to the very first book, Genesis chapter 3. So in case you don't know, there were two humans that started this whole thing, and their names were Adam and Eve. Obviously, God put them here. That's where it started. But their names were Adam and Eve. And before chapter 3 of Genesis, everything was great. Like, they were in perfect harmony with God. They lived in this garden called Eden that had the sweetest, freshest fruit any of us, well, none of us would ever know. Things were literally perfect. They were in this unique presence and relationship with God that we'll know someday, but not now. See, because this happened. Genesis chapter 3, something happened. A lie, actually. From the very beginning, this whole mess that we're in, this thing called sin, truly started with a lie. I mean, you may think, like, yeah, I can lie about taking a cookie out of the cookie jar. If you still do that, that's a little weird. But, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I still do it with Oreos. That's why my wife's looking at me weird right now. But this whole thing started with a lie. Let's read this. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says this. Now the serpent, and think about this. When we're talking about the serpent, we're talking about the devil here. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So in this perfect harmony of the Garden of Eden, God gave one instruction. One instruction. Don't eat from this tree. You can have whatever else you want. There's so many good things here. Don't eat from this one, though. So what did the devil do? Well, he came to Eve, and he said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" That's not what God said. God didn't say, "I can't eat from any tree in the garden." He said, "I can't eat from one tree in the garden." But you see what's happening here? He's trying to confuse her. He's trying to instill a little bit of a doubt. He's twisting and lying about the words of God to try to bring Adam and Eve down. And then later on, in verses 4 and 5, the serpent says, "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." See, the truth of what happened, we all know where the story goes from there. They obviously eat the apple and they fall, and we fall into sin. And that's why we're sinful people. That's why we lie today. The issue here is that the devil, the enemy, Satan, used a lie to twist God's word, to make Adam and Eve believe that if they ate this tree, they would be like God, that they would be gods themselves. But in fact, that's not what happened. In fact, they weren't gods at all. Eating from that tree gave them the wisdom and the knowledge to understand evil. It gave them the wisdom and the knowledge to understand that there's something out there working against God. So I realize that, like, this sounds heavy, but it's reality. Like, it's in here. And I believe myself, you guys, like, we can get this. We understand what it means to make good and bad choices. So if we get that, we understand what this is saying. And the truth is this, like, lying, it's not from God. It's quite the opposite, actually. I'm going to read this. It's you don't have to turn there, but it's John chapter 8, verse 44. It says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Do you guys get it? I mean, lying is obviously not from God. It's actually quite the opposite. It's from somebody else that hopefully we don't like at all. If you do, you're scary. the thing is, though, we've all fallen into this trap. So it's like, wait a second, I get it. Like, that sounds heavy. Like, lying, like, the devil is the father of lies. Like, I lie. Does, like, that mean, like, I'm the son of the devil? That sounds crazy. I can't believe I just said that. It sounds weird. No, that's not. Like, in fact, I can tell you in my own life, I'm guilty of lying more frequently than I'd like to. When I was a little kid, like, go back with me a little bit. So I was, like, 6 years old. So I was, like, this tall. No, actually, at six, I was, like, this tall. And I grew about 3 inches from there. So, no, I was a big kid, seriously. I was. It was kind of freaky. But I was, like, 6 years old, right? And in the Midwest, we have these things called sheds. They're like garages for your stuff. You just put a bunch of stuff in there. So one day, I was just being a six-year-old, doing whatever six-year-olds do, and I wandered into our neighbor's shed. And there, lo and behold, there was my apple. I saw my apple right in front of me, and I was like, I gotta have this. I mean, I know it, maybe I shouldn't, but I gotta have it. The thing is, though, my apple wasn't an apple. It was one of those little Nerf footballs that has, like, the tail. You guys know what I'm talking about? And you can throw it, like, for a mile, and it never comes down. I wanted that so bad. Like, those were new when I was 6 years old, which makes me old, but the people older than me, I'm sorry. You're really old. I'm just kidding. I wanted that so bad. So bad. So I did what every good six-year-old Christian kid would do. I took it and I ran as fast as I could away from the shed. I said, no, this is my, I stole it. I don't even know where that came from. To this day, I don't think I have ever stolen anything else in my life. It was the weirdest, I don't know. I still can't explain it. I don't want to. So then, in all my six-year-old wisdom, I took that football and I did what every kid would do. I started playing with it. Not realizing that at 6 years old, I don't have money to buy footballs. I don't have a car to go to the store and get me a football. Everything I have comes from my mom and dad. Thus, they know everything they buy me. So I'm out there playing catch with this football, and I'm sure my dad's thought was like, where did he get that football? I didn't buy it for him. Okay. So he asked me, he comes up to me, hey, where did you get that football? And again, I did what any great Christian six-year-old boy would do, and I said, the neighbor guy gave it to me. I mean, duh, like, of course. Obviously, that was a lie. And obviously, my dad knew that because I had no money and no car to get my own football. At 6 years old, I was already a liar. I'm sure a lot of you may have similar stories or may remember the little things, or maybe it was today. See, there's something in us that almost naturally wants to lie. Like, it's all around us in culture as well. Like, that doesn't help. Like, when you look at a magazine, the truth is, like, you're flipping through pages and pages of lies. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with magazines, but, like, there's pictures in there and ads in there that say, girls, you need to look like that. Boys, you need to look like that. And the truth is, the people in those pictures don't even look like that. They're photoshopped and airbrushed. That's not even real. They're lies. I'm sorry, spoiler alert. Reality TV, it's not real. It's not real. There are producers behind those cameras. I'm sorry if this hurts you. There are producers behind those cameras telling those people what to say, showing them what to do. It's not real. The people on American Idol can't even sing. I'm just kidding. They might be able to. Probably better than me. That's why they don't sell any CDs afterwards. I'm sorry. Little kids. Little kids. Not only are they disease carriers, I'm sorry. They are. Everybody's sick right now, and I feel like it's always from the little kids. They lie. They do. Like, how many of you have little brothers and sisters that, like, mom looks at them and says, did you just hit your brother or sister? Like, and your brother or sister's bruised. And they're like, no. Why would I ever do that? What? You're lying. I saw you do it. There's something in us that causes us to lie. And then school. Oh, this is another big one. I was guilty of this so many times in school. How many, maybe this was just me, but how many people talk too much in school? So how many people, when the teacher looks at you and says, stop talking, do you look at her and say, he was talking to me. She was talking to me. No, it's a conversation. You're both talking. You were talking. It's the truth. We lie. There's something in us that naturally wants to go to lying to get out of trouble. See, lying, it's easy, and it happens all around us. But let's look for a second. Let's look and see, what does God have to say about lying? So flip in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 5. Sorry if you've been flipping everywhere. We're going all over the place, but this is a big one. If you can flip here with me, that'd be great. So let me give you a little backstory as you're getting there. So this story takes place at the beginning of the church as we know it today. So Christ has died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. And now he's left it, his gospel to us, to people like Peter, to spread it to all mankind. Early on in the church, so they could be still meeting in houses, they could be, I mean, very small. There's not a lot of people involved at this time. Like, this is grassroots. This isn't Mission Community Church. It's not thousands of people. We're talking smaller, much smaller. And what would happen is a lot of the times they would bring offerings forward. So they took care of the needs of one another. If there were hungry or sick or widowed or anybody that was in need, they would bring money forward and say, look, let's spread this money around. Like, let's take care of one another and take care of one another's needs. It was a great example. And then there were this couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And I'm just going to read it. Knowing the context of what I just told you, let's read this and then we'll come back and talk about it. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. So here's the moral of this. Here's what I want you to walk away with. If you lie, you die. I'm kidding. That's not what I want you to do. I'm totally joking. So God is actually saying much more in this scripture. You know what this tells us? This shows us how much God hates lying, how much he despises when we lie. And the reason why we see God dealing with Ananias and Sapphira so severely at this time is you have to go back in history. In the history of God's people, when there were big events taking place, whether it be like the building of the tabernacle or going into the promised land or the building of the temple, or at this point, the church is brand new. Like Jesus' ministry had just wrapped up, and now it was left to us to push forward. And at those times, God would punish sins early on in those times pretty severely. See, what it did was set an example for all the people. So it wasn't like Ananias and Sapphira lied, and the next person that, like, he was like bug zapping everybody that lied and killing them. Like that. No, that's not the thing. But he chose to work this way because early on in his church, he wanted to set the precedent that he is not okay with lying. And bummer for Ananias and Sapphira, they happen to be the example. That stinks. It's a harsh reality. But the truth is, God hates when we lie. He doesn't like it. And as crazy as it sounds, but the verse I read earlier about the devil being the father of lies, we tend to be more like the devil when we lie than we do Jesus. Obviously, we don't want to live that way. I mean, I don't think anybody in here, you'd be scary if you did, but I don't think anybody in here is like, yo, yeah, I want to be more like the devil than I do Jesus. Like, duh, that's not why you come to church, I hope. You're at the wrong church. We want to be more like Jesus. Here's another thing. Lies, they hurt us. They hurt us, and they can hurt other people. So check this out. I don't know if this is going to work, so bear with me. Ooh, it stayed together. This is Jenga, and Jesus is a lot like Jenga. No, I'm kidding. So, when we lie, I'm going to leave it right there. When we lie, it hurts a little bit. Am I right? Like, whether it's we know the truth and we're keeping something back from somebody else, or whether we're lying and it's just hurting us. Like, maybe it's a lie that in some way affects us, or we're lying about our situation, or we're lying about the pain in our lives, and it hurts us. See, when we do that, we tend to maybe take a piece out. And we see that, yeah, like, that hurts. And then maybe we lie again, and we continue to lie and go through this pattern of lying over and over and over again, and we begin to have all of these holes in our lives. We get to a point where we just feel empty. And maybe our lies haven't hurt anybody else at this point. Maybe nobody knows. Maybe you've kept these lies in so long and you've kept everybody else so deceived that they don't know. But then lie builds upon lie, builds upon lie, builds upon lie, builds upon lie, and all of a sudden, everything comes down. Our lives fall apart. And we don't know why. We weren't expecting, but when the bricks of our lives fall, they land on other people and they hurt them. And we never thought our little lies could go that far. And then we realize it. See, lying, it doesn't stay with just us. It hurts other people. And maybe you're in that place. Maybe you're like, you know what? I really struggle with it. I don't know why. I don't. But maybe you're in the place where you're like, I really, really struggle with lying. Or maybe it's something that's just starting out in your life. And you're like, you know what? I want to get rid of this before it grows big. Or maybe, and I know at 12, 13, and 14, it may be tough, but maybe your life is already in this place. And you're like, man, these lies that I've held on to and told for so long have hurt so many people around me, and it just doesn't feel right. The thing is, God gives us hope. And that's the most important thing. If you hear one thing tonight, that's what you should hear. God gives us hope. Proverbs 11:3 says this: "The integrity of the honest keeps them on track. The deviousness of crooks brings them to ruin." So the integrity of honest people keeps them focused and on track with God. And the lies of crooks brings them to ruins. See, integrity is what should replace lying in our lives. If you're like, you know what? I get it. I've got to stop lying. I get it. I know. I've tried so many times. It's something over and over again. I try to tell the truth, but I just don't know how. Replace those lies with integrity. And what is integrity? And this is the definition: the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Thing is, I don't think that's enough. Because when we're faced with right and wrong, we're always, just like Adam and Eve, and I'm sure this happens to each of you on a regular basis. I know it happens to me. But we come to a point in life where we're faced with a right choice and a wrong choice. For some reason, it's always so much easier to choose the wrong one. Because see, we can't do this alone. See, on our own, we'll never, ever, ever be able to stop. We'll continue lie after lie after lie after lie until our lives come crumbling down. But Scripture says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here." Guys, we learned about this last week. Josh talked about how the Holy Spirit, as Christians, when we believe and put our faith in Christ and seek after Him, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and changes us from the inside out. We become a new creation. This is what God does to our lives. He picks up all those pieces and He says, you know what? I'm going to rebuild this. I'm going to make something beautiful and strong again. We can't do it on our own, because peace will keep falling out, and peace will keep falling out, and we'll never be able to put them back. Not fast enough. Because you feel like sin just piles up and piles up and piles up. But you know what happens? As a Christian, the way God works in our lives is a piece may fall out, two pieces may fall out, but you know what? That next piece is falling out, God's putting one right back. Another one falls out, He's putting two back. He's saying, look, I know that you're going to sin. I know you're going to make mistakes, but I'm bigger than that. If we believe what we talked about last week, if we believe that as Christians we change from the inside out, we know that God is the only way to give up some of these bad habits. He's the only one that can come into our lives and pick these weeds out. I want to read one more scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. It says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." So the Spirit of God lives in us as Christians. If you're sitting here today and you're like, you know what? I put my faith in Christ. I believe. I'm a Christian. And the truth is, you have a power inside of you that when you're faced with right and wrong, and the flesh, which is what's wrong, and the Spirit, which is what's right, are in conflict with one another, and they're fighting against one another, you have power within you to say, you know what? I'm going to choose what's right. I'm going to choose to go where the Spirit leads me. And I heard time and time and time again growing up, like, you gotta walk in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you. He lives in you. Go get him. And I was like, what the heck does that mean? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Like, okay, I don't feel him all the time. Guys, when we encourage you and tell you, when we do things like the JHM Daily Word, you can't earn God's Spirit and earn his love, but there's truth behind what's in this book. There's truth behind when you take time to pray and to speak with God. Because you know what happens in that time? When you read this, you learn more about who he is and the way that he moves and works in your life. And when you come to those hard choices, you see how his Spirit helped those in this book. And when you pray and you spend time talking to a God who's alive and loves you and wants to hear your voice, his Spirit begins to speak louder and louder in your lives. Guys, I'm not saying that you're going to have every answer. You won't. Again, you can only do it with God. But I am saying that as lie after lie falls out of your life and brick after brick keeps crumbling down, God is putting those back. If your faith is in him and you trust him, he will put his Spirit in you. And that Spirit is one of integrity. Choose integrity. Choose to do what's right. But more importantly, the only way you're going to do that is by choosing Jesus. He's the only one that can lead us down that path and push us towards what's right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. God, thank you for every student in this room. God, for those that are sitting in here and maybe lying is their struggle. Maybe it's hard for them to be honest and tell the truth because they're worried about the consequences or they're scared of what would happen. God, I pray that you would bring them peace. God, if they have their faith and their hope and their belief in you, I pray that your Spirit would well up inside of them, that it would push them towards integrity and doing what is right and away from sin and lying. God, I pray that every student in here would realize that when they put their faith in you, they received a Spirit that leads them to what is right and good. They received a Spirit of integrity and love that pushes them towards making the right decisions, that pushes them away from lying. And God, I pray for those that are in here that may not know you or may want to know you, may want that Spirit of integrity, may want to get rid of their lying, but maybe for the first time tonight just realize that they can't do it on their own. That as they try, they'll fail every time. God, I pray that you would work in their hearts. Lord, that they would turn to you, Jesus, that you would come into their lives, you would show them love and peace, and that they would choose to accept you. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that you would show love and grace and mercy. And Father, that your Spirit would lead our lives, that as we seek and pray and we seek and read your word, that we would know more about you and learn how to walk by your Spirit's leading. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. That's it. Have a great week.